With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Mm-hmm. And now we're thinking about Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
I really want a Chick-fil-A. I think after we record this episode, we should get Chick-fil-A.
We should go to Chick-fil-A.
I feel like we should.
That's fine.
It's only right.
Great.
It's only right. I'm Ashley.
I'm Brooke.
And we're here with Teachers Who Talk Crime
Podcast.
Eek. We're back again. Episode 3.
We're on 4.
And also, shit. This is 4.
We're on 4.
Damn. Yikes.
We're out here just grinding.
We grinded and
getting. And we're together.
We are here together.
As one.
And if this recording is trash, we apologize. Because again, this is episode 4. We are learning.
And Google's not being very helpful.
Google is trash. And also, sidebar, I sound like a crusty, dusty crust monster. So I apologize. It was really, really intense teaching week this week. Really intense. So we're gonna try
the words best. Of Whitney, you sound like a beautiful princess.
A beautiful princess. So, yeah, I'm crusty as shit. So I just hope you guys enjoy my crusty ass voice.
I feel like you have a radio voice.
Do not sound crusty like this.
It's in your head.
No, it's Brooke. I sound crusty. I normally sound crusty, but like not this crusty.
You are a beautiful princess. And we just took bomb photos.
Oh my gosh, guys. First of all, we have a jam-packed day. It is currently 3:31. 3:31.
And we're just now recording.
We're just now recording because we spent 30 minutes trying to figure this shit out.
That, and we went and got bagels.
We went and got bagels. Hashtag shout out to Manhattan Bagels, even though it took us 20 minutes to get our food.
Well, not
well, me. It took Brooke 5 because she got a bagel with cream cheese.
And I ate my meal like a boss.
No, she did. She tried to wait, but
I couldn't wait.
The tummy be rumbling.
Mm-hmm. We're thinking about Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
I really want a Chick-fil-A. I think after we record this episode, we should get Chick-fil-A.
We should go to Chick-fil-A.
I feel like we should.
That's fine.
It's only right.
Great.
It's only right.
And then we'll just record for future Patreons of us eating Chick-fil-A. Yeah. And
we could do a little ASMR.
I hate that so much. That's the most annoying thing ever.
Would you guys like that? Like,
no, if I did ASMR? James would turn us off in a heartbeat. My boyfriend hates with a passion.
But that would be for our listeners.
But he's like, a listener.
Oh.
And he also buy my house, so I need to be nice to him.
That's true. Or what about the Patreon people? We can be like, if you want to listen to me talk to you like this.
We don't have a Patreon right now. One day we will. We're
One
just
day,
talking future. We're manifesting right
we're
now.
Manifesting
we do have.
This.
We do have, though, Ashley, socials.
Have? Yes, we do.
We have an Instagram.
Yes, we do.
What is our Instagram name, Ashley?
Teachers Who Talk. No, I'm just kidding. It's Teachers Talk Crime.
We have our personal TikToks. Mine is southern.math.teacher.
And mine is Branny with 3 Y's and an underscore.
Don't forget the underscore.
Don't forget it.
We also have a buy me a coffee.
Because you need a buy us a drink.
It's in our link tree, but it's also at buymeacoffee.com/TTC podcast.
TTC?
Y'all.
Teachers Who Talk Crime. Teachers Who Talk Crime. Oh, I feel like that's going to sound so crusty coming out of someone's speaker.
They're going to love it.
Yikes.
It is Ashley's episode today, episode 4.
Numero 4.
I-A-S-A-T-S-U.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's 4.
It is Ashley's.
It is me.
Episode, and let's just see what she's going to bring us today.
I'm going to bring you the things today.
All the things.
All the things.
So, sit down. Shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-boom. I felt like Whitney when I did that.
Pardon the interruptions. Teachers Talk Crime would like to disclose that some of the things discussed on this podcast are their opinions. Ashley and Brooke are not pointing the blame on anyone. They are just two teachers with a microphone. Thank you. And away we go!
So here we are. I am here with you. And today we are going to have our lesson of the murder of Emma Walker. Emma Walker.
I feel like I got such a wholesome name.
It is.
Like Emma Walker went to get some milk.
Emma Walker was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was pretty amazing. All right. So our story is going to begin on November 19th, 2016. And Jill and Mark, Emma Walker's parents, gave her the permission to go to a party at a classmate's house. Okay. So she had recently broken up with her boyfriend, 18-year-old college freshman Riley Gall. And she was finally just like getting her life back on track. However, on this particular night, she was not living her best life. Because she was getting these weird text messages from her phone. So she went to her friend at the party, Zach Green, and was like, look, I'm getting some super weird text messages. I want you to take a peek at them. And some of the text messages that she got said, go to the car with your keys, go alone. I've got someone you love, and if you don't comply, I will hurt you.
No, that's weird.
That's suspicious.
Go to the car alone?
Yeah.
Red flag, red flag.
First of all, I'm not going to no car alone. So.
First of all, I don't know your number. I got a system. I text like three of my friends and I'm like, hey, see if you have this number. Mm-hmm. And then if none of us have it, we don't answer you.
Yeah. So initially she's like freaked out. I mean, anyone would be. You're getting these random text messages saying they have something you love. But Zach is like, someone's playing a prank on you. Like, enjoy this party. We're having a good time. But this didn't ease her worries at all. And instead of enjoying herself, she texted this unknown number back and was telling them, like, look, if you continue to hit me up, I'm going to call the police. This person really did not care and continued to threaten Emma. And the messages that she started receiving were more and more dark. So the next text message that she received after that said, if you'd like to hear his crying and screams, give him a call.
So him, just a him.
Him?
Somebody you love.
Him.
So that's your daddy, that's your brother, your ex, that's your cousin, your uncle.
It's one of them.
It's somebody.
It's one of them.
Okay.
So Emma's freaked out, and I'd be freaked out too. So she's pleading with her friend Zach, like, yo, help me handle the situation. She has no idea, like, what to do, how to proceed. And she eventually tells Zach that the unknown number texted her and told her that they dropped Riley, her ex-boyfriend, outside of where she was at.
That's weird. Okay, so now Riley's technically at the party.
So he's been dropped off by this random number.
Okay, Riley's in college. Emma's still in high school.
Yes, indeed, she is.
Okay. All right.
So immediately my alarm bells are going off. So she's at this party for her school. This person, this mystery person, knows where she is. So this person has to be someone who went to her school.
Or social media.
Because she, you know, people be tagging stuff and that's really dangerous.
They put all their locations. All of our stuff is tagged the classroom. And when you click on it, it's like 8,000 miles away. I don't know where the classroom actually is, but it's 8,000 miles away.
It's nowhere near
where we are.
So Emma and Zach go outside and lo and behold, Riley is in a ditch near the house.
A ditch. Just hanging out in the
just
ditch.
Just not hanging out. So he's like laying down in the ditch and his like head is covered. Kind of like if you were thrown out of a car into a ditch.
Or you passed out drunk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Either or. Riley. So she's like, bro, what are you doing here? Mind you, this is her ex-boyfriend.
Like, get up.
Yes. Like, what are you doing here? What is going on? Riley proceeds to tell her, I don't know how I got here or what's going on.
Oh, so he's like conscious. We're awake. He's chilling.
Oh, like, yeah. He's not like passed out like, oh, my God, Riley, wake up. No, he's like, I guess she shakes him and he's like, oh, where am I? Emma, is that you? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, if I saw my ex, one particular ex in a ditch, I'd be like, I need another drink. Bye.
I'm at a party with my friends. Toodles.
Bye.
So he's explaining to her that he's been kidnapped and the kidnappers have taken his phone. And all while he's explaining this, he's holding his head in a way that you would assume that he had gotten like
blood should be coming out.
Yeah, like some type of like injury to his head had happened during his kidnapping. And I'm doing air quotes here, people. So Emma is automatically skeptical about the whole thing. Like, sir, I'm not sure what you expect me to think, but this is like, I'm calling BS on your story.
Yeah.
Like, because it's pretty bizarre and how and ironic that you got kidnapped and your kidnappers knew that I would be at this party.
So they were texting me.
And they dropped you off here. So she goes, look, Riley, we're broken up. Leave me alone. And she goes back to the party. So Riley is feeling some type of way. Like, I mean, according to him, he has been kidnapped, bashed over the head, and dropped off to a place where someone he loved was. And she literally cared nothing about his.
So if his story is true, he's like even more traumatized. Like, why are you not caring what I'm telling you?
Absolutely.
But if his story is not true, then he's getting angry.
Yes.
Because she's not believing him.
Yes.
Okay.
So he takes the L and he starts walking down the street. And then he calls his friend Noah Walton and tells him everything. Oh my God, I got kidnapped, blah, blah, blah. But my question here is now, he told Emma that the kidnappers took his phone.
But now we're calling folks.
Okay. Make it make sense.
All right. Okay.
Like, I'm not a kidnapper. But I'm pretty sure kidnapping 101 is you take the phone and you destroy the phone.
Right.
Not you take the phone, call the loved ones, give the phone back.
So that they can now make calls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So he's telling Noah this story. Bro, you would not believe what happened to me tonight. And Noah did not believe what happened to him tonight.
Nobody is believing what happened to him.
Noah was like, nah, bro. Like, that absolutely did not happen. And of course, if you've gotten kidnapped, you'd think that you would, you know, call the police and report it.
But I tell two people, one my ex-girlfriend and one my best friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would definitely call the police first. That's like my go-to.
Well, Riley specifically told Noah not to involve the police.
Red flag.
I literally have wee-woo-wee-woo red flag alert.
Not wee-woo-wee-woo.
Look, wee-woo-wee-woo.
Wee-woo-wee-woo.
Exactly like that, but I sound crusty, so I can't do it. It's like, anyway. So we texted another partygoer. My head is throbbing, and I'm about to say some explicit language. So if you're like a child, cover your ears. I have no fucking idea what happened. I literally woke up in her yard, and I could have been killed. And Emma didn't even give a fuck.
Why is this giving me frat boy vibes?
I mean, that's why I was.
You know? Yeah, like, no, this whole, it just, frat boy.
Yeah.
Chad, you are Chad.
Yeah. Right now. And we talked about Chad.
We did. We talked about Chad.
It's always a Chad.
The king of all douchebags.
Douchebag.
Yeah. The bag of douches.
Yes. So, mind you, this man has been kidnapped. And he is only concerned with the fact that Emma did not care.
Not trying to find the kidnappers, not trying to get to the bottom of this, not trying to figure out why was I chosen. Just Emma didn't care.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, make it make sense.
Okay.
Make it make sense. So sources don't say how Riley got home or how he even left the area because he was thrown out of a car.
He walking. Hitting Pat.
So he disappeared into the night. Whatever. Emma is back at the party and the next morning she drives herself home. It's not... All of my sources never said when exactly she got home, but sometime the next morning, she texts her friend saying that someone wearing all black was at her door, like banging on the door, trying to get in, like shortly after she got home. So she's terrified because she's home alone. This stranger is trying to get into her house. So it's not noted if she contacted her parents, but she did contact Riley. And immediately in my head, I'm like, well, you, like, wanted nothing to do with him the night before. But I'm guessing that he was, like, her sense of security.
Or she's adding the pieces together and thinking, like, okay, maybe what he said has some validity.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
Still wondering why we're not calling the cops, but yeah. Okay.
Or your parents.
Yeah.
So, of course, Riley comes over and provides Emma with the comfort that she needs. Probably... with the hopes of, like, getting her back. And I'll get more into it later, but their relationship was not, like... It was one of those relationships where it appears that it's sunshine and rainbows, but in the background, it's really not.
Never know what's going on behind closed doors.
So when Emma's mom, Jill, returns home, she sees Riley at her home. And at this point, he's banned from her house. Like, and again, I'll get into this later. And She's not happy about it. So she immediately asks him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I'm here to help. I'm making sure Emma's okay.
And mom's like, okay, why does Emma need your help? What's going on? I'm assuming. Like, I would be like, what do you mean Emma needs help?
That too, but like, you have the audacity to tell this woman no?
In her own home.
At her own home with her child?
That you don't pay for.
Exactly. So Jill is like, look, you know you're not supposed to be here, and it's time to go. Like, I'm here. I'll take it over from here. And he listens, which is wonderful. So Emma is still freaked out by this mysterious all-black person. But Jill, she wasn't impressed.
What are you talking about, Emma?
Huh?
Like, what are you talking about, Emma?
Yeah, exactly. She tells Emma, isn't it weird, like, that both of these events that happened, you know, the common denominator is Riley, right? So you were at this party. You got these texts. Riley showed up.
Yeah.
This man appears. You call Riley. Riley shows up. Like, put the pieces together. And Emma's like, no, it wasn't Riley. He wouldn't do something like that. But mothers always know.
Mm-hmm.
They always know.
And he would do something like that.
Yeah.
Anybody's capable of anything.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So she tells Emma that this is just something that he's planned and executed, so you'll talk to him. And it's obviously worked. And as you can see, he would literally do anything to get your attention at this point.
Literally anything.
Yeah. So this is the next day. The party was on Friday, so this is Saturday. So they're on high alert. They don't trust Riley, and they don't trust that he won't do something else to get their daughter's attention. So they do what any good parents do. They followed her to and from work that day to make sure that she was safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then
I'm with it.
I would have done it. And she was. So everything appeared to be business as usual on Sunday, November 20th. After getting home from work, Emma texted a friend about a homework assignment, and her dad told her that he loved her before heading to bed that night. And Mark had no idea that this was the last interaction that he was going to have with his daughter.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. So Emma decides to go to bed around midnight, and in the middle of the night, her dad had heard this noise, and the noise he described it as was like someone was in the house, and you know when you like slam a door really loud?
Yeah.
So like someone slammed a door in their house like twice.
Okay.
So he gets out of bed and he goes to check on Emma and her brother. He peeks into Emma's room and he's literally like staring at her for 15 and 20 minutes and she appears to be asleep. So then he goes and checks on his son, checks the house, and then goes back to bed. So the next morning is Monday and it is November 21st and Jill goes to wake up Emma for school, calls into her room, Emma, and Emma doesn't answer when she calls her name, which is weird. So Jill goes into the room and bumps and kind of like shakes Emma's leg and feels that her leg is not only cold, but she also did not get a response.
It's stiff.
It's stiff. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, God.
So Jill looked at her daughter's face and it appeared to be like some type of like vomit like was like on her head next to her pillow. So she immediately checked her pulse. And once she realized there wasn't one, she called 911.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm going to play the 911 clip for you right now.
What is your name?
I'm Jill Walker.
What's going on there?
I just tried to wake up my daughter from school and she has no pulse.
Stay on the line. I'm transferring you to rural metro.
Beep, 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 beep.
Rural metro, can you tell me what's going on?
She's not responsive. She's gone.
Okay, is she breathing?
No. Her tongue's hanging out of her mouth.
Is she laying on her back?
Yes.
Wow.
That was like chilling. That was chilling.
Like imagine just going in to check on your daughter and she is dead. That is the most terrifying thing as a mother.
Didn't you just say last night, like one night you were hyped up on caffeine and you went and checked on Aria and Skylar?
I check on them at least 10 times before I go to bed. I will literally stand over them and make sure they are breathing. And sometimes if I can't tell because it's dark, I'll like fool around with them so they'll like move. So I know that they, like it's crazy. Like
they're
I'm terrified.
They're literally probably thinking, Mom, stop touching me.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm just like, I don't care. I'm your mother. Like, I felt so much emotion listening to that 911 call, and it literally broke my heart because you can literally hear her heart breaking on the call. Mm-hmm. Like, she, like, did you, like, at one point she was like, she's gone.
She already knew.
She knew. Yeah. So initially, because remember that her, when her mom went in there, she said it appeared like she had vomited on her pillow. And in the 911 call, they said that her tongue was out. So initially they thought it was a possible suicide, but then they realized that she had been killed by a gunshot wound to the head after not one, but two bullets were shot through her bedroom wall.
What?
Yeah.
Boom, boom, two doors slammed. Well, I was thinking, because if you're going to get shot in your house, you would have heard a gunshot. Like, that's mm-hmm. a very noticeable sound. It is something that's prominent. Like, but he said doors. Like, it sounded like a door.
Yeah. So okay. He got up to check. And mind you, they're coming through her wall. So the person who shot her was outside.
On the street.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So what appeared to be vomit on her pillow was actual, like, brain tissue. And, like, brain matter on her pillow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, they rope up the house. It's now a crime scene.
Mom and Dad are thinking they know exactly who it is.
Girl. So, they're interviewing everyone. Like, what is going on? Who could have done this to her? Because, again, she was a sweet high schooler. And Riley's name came up multiple times because they had seen how he had treated her in the relationship. And again, I will get into these details later. You know, I like to build up and then fill it in.
Yeah, you're a good storyteller.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So Riley's name is being dropped left and right by all of her friends and her family. So what is Riley doing at this point in time?
Running.
No. He is making posts on social media.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. One of them read, "Rest easy now, sweetheart. I love you forever and always."
So it's out in the public that she's dead.
Yes.
So, okay, this was not posted before the public knew. So it does kind of look like, okay, rest easy, my sweetheart. You're broken up. Mm-hmm. You are broken up with this girl.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like even if you break up with someone, you still have love for them. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. But if my ex died, and I'm with James now, I'm going to marry James, like, he's my person, I might text, like, my ex's sister or his mother and be like, you know, sending my condolences. But I wouldn't post on social media pictures of us from when we dated still saying I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would be hurt because that was somebody that was a part of my life.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't get a special post.
Mm-hmm. But they had only recently broken up.
That's true. And, like, neither one had moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's still fresh. And I mean, he saw her the day, like, before when that person was trying to break into her house and he came and comforted her. So,
right.
You know? So it would appear that he was a grieving ex-boyfriend.
A friend.
Or whatever you want to call them. So after Emma's murder, Riley confided in his friend Alex McCarthy. And he told Alex that he was fearful of his life because of this, like, kidnapping and everything that happened to him. And he was afraid, like, the same people who did that to me might do it to Emma. So because of this, he stole his grandfather's gun.
Oh.
It's very coincidental.
That's weird.
Super weird.
Stole it. Why can't you just go to Grandpa and say, these are the things that I've experienced in the last week. Could I borrow your gun for protection?
Because he's shiesty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Riley also asked Alex how to get fingerprints off of a gun.
Why you need to know that?
Oh, for his roommate, his college roommate.
Oh.
His fingerprints were on.
Why we need to know that? Your grandfather was going to test his gun for fingerprints and run it through a fingerprint thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's suspicious.
Mm.
So obviously, because Riley's name was dropped so many times, he was brought in for questioning on that Monday. Like, later that day. Because Emma was murdered on a Monday. R.I.P. to her. They interviewed this man for 2 hours.
That's not a very short interview in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't been charged with anything, so that's a normal, I guess, interview.
Yeah. And he wouldn't even refer to Emma by her name. Mm-hmm. He said, the girl, or the one that passed away.
But yet on social media, she was your sweetheart and your love and baby and okay.
Right? It doesn't make any sense. Like you said, doing all that, expressing all your love. And when I say he was making posts on social media, they were like everywhere. Instagram, Twitter. Like
he went to all the platforms.
Yes, like long paragraphs about it, right? Just essentially love bombing her, you know. Then he tells detectives about his whereabouts over the weekend. And we all know he was kidnapped, but he
doesn't bring that up.
He did. He did. Okay. He did. And he was just like, I had no idea what happened. Like, just dumb stuff. So he said he was trying to talk to Emma all weekend, but she refused to speak to him. But on the day that she passed away, she said, look, I'll talk to you if you help me with your, like, my paper. So he said that he contacted her that day from his college friend's phone. Where's your phone?
Yeah.
And the conversation was not pleasant, but then she blocked his friend's number.
Good for her?
Yeah. Great for her. I love that for her. Mm-hmm. So then he said he stopped at his grandparents' house for a little bit, and I guess this is
where he snapped the gun.
And then he went back to school, where he proceeded to cry for hours over him and Emma's breakup in his car.
Oh. All
so right. No witnesses. No one saw him.
Can't confirm any of this.
Yeah. And he did say that when he got back inside, his roommate was still awake and was just like, oh, like, why are you getting in so late? It was around like 4:30. And I will mention that Emma was killed. They estimate that she was shot around 3 a.m.
So the college is obviously in close proximity to the town.
25 miles.
25 miles.
25
okay.
miles. That's, you know, that's an absolute.
So he was, if he got in at 4:30, he was in his car crying.
Yes.
From 2 o'clock in the morning to 4 in the morning.
Yes. Over their relationship, he was distraught.
Your alibi has so many holes, dude.
So many holes.
Okay.
And all while he's telling this story to the police, he has absolutely no emotion. None.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this is someone you love. This is someone you care about. She's now dead. You're not mentioning her by name. And you have no emotion. It's weird.
Very.
It's suspect.
And let me clarify. He went to his grandparents, mm-hmm. hung out, then went back to his dorm. Or yes. at the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's still midnight. I'm sorry. My grandmother goes to bed at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. Most grandparents are asleep.
Yeah.
So where were you when you left your grandparents from mysteriously ended up in this parking lot?
Yeah.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah. So the lieutenant on the case, Alan Merritt, said that Riley's interview was the most disconnected interviews that he's ever been a part of, and that it seemed very rehearsed.
Oh. Well, he's had some time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And mind you, they've been interviewing everybody about this at this point, so they know about the gun. They spoke to his friend about the gun, because remember, he confided in him about said gun. So they're like, all right, so what about this gun from your grandparents? Like, your grandpa reported it stolen. Like, what's going on? He denied everything. He said he had no idea where the gun was and that he never told his friend about the gun.
So your friend's just lying, just making stuff up?
Yeah.
Randomly?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's no connection to Emma whatsoever, so just decides to make up this story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's what people
Logical,
do.
Logical, right?
We lie about magical
Random
guns.
Stuff.
Yeah. So the police had nothing concrete to hold him, so they had to release him. And then after he left the police station, he's texting his friends and told them, yo, don't talk to the police anymore.
Sketchy. Sketchy. And that just goes back to, like, I tell my kid, like, students all the time, I'm like, don't help your friend get out of trouble because now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
If it's me or you, like I said in another episode, I'm choosing me all day.
All day.
Because you don't pay my bills.
No, you don't. I pay my bills. My bills are paid. So Noah, the friend that he called after being kidnapped when he was walking on the lonely street by himself, and his other friend Alex knew that he was lying. And so they teamed up with the police to get him to admit to what he had done.
Good job, Noah and Alex. Good job. Round of applause.
Yes. Because remember, he showed the gun to Alex. He saw it. He was like, how do I get the fingerprints off of this? He saw it with his eyes. And wow, these young men I don't know if I would be so brave.
Kudos to you.
To do this, because they had to literally be like mic'd up and like had a key fob that had a video recorder on it, so they could not only see but hear everything that was going on.
And they also knew that they're walking into somebody who's just committed one murder. Like they know in their heart to hearts that that Riley is guilty. So they're probably sweating freaking bullets.
So who's to say that he won't like do it to them?
Right.
You know what I mean? If he figures up the jig is up. So the police warn them, like, this is very dangerous because of what we just talked about. This is a dangerous mission, but Alex and Noah were determined to help. Like, they wanted justice for Emma. So the next day on Tuesday, the police wired them up, and they invited Riley over to play video games, and they began discussing what happened to Emma. So then Riley was like, yo, you want to help me get rid of my grandfather's gun? The gun that had nothing to do with her murder? I just don't want to have it. I just want to get rid of it.
The gun that you just told police that you knew nothing about?
Yeah. And that they now hear because they're wired up. Undercover cops are following their every move. And before they were going to dispose of it in the river. So they all stopped to eat before they got to the river. So Noah had contact with the cops. So he's texting them like, you need to come get him now. He's going to throw this gun in the river.
We're also freaking the you-know-what out.
Yeah, absolutely. So the police immediately came to where they were at and arrested Riley for first-degree murder. In his possession was a bag that had his grandfather's gun and black clothing.
What?
Remember that mystery person with all black?
Was Riley.
Ding, ding, ding. It was Riley.
You dumb.
Idiot.
What's your GPA? I can probably guess.
Yeah, but you probably can't.
Oh, Lord. Well, he's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn.
Yes. So, yeah. So his trial began May of 2018. Sources, like my sources were all over the place. They were saying, some said that he got sentenced to 51 years in prison for first degree murder. Others said that he was in for life. And others said that he was in life with the possibility of parole at 51.
51 is the common denominator.
Yeah, so I'm not sure where the 51 comes into place, but I couldn't find it.
Well, if it's 51 years or life, and he's a freshman in college that's 18 years old.
Yes.
So then he's at 69?
Ha ha, 69?
I'm such a teenage boy! Oh my God, you can tell I teach middle schoolers.
It's either that or 21.
That no, and they like 422. Oh,
oh my gosh! What?
I don't know.
Focus on your education. Right. Focus on these math problems.
He would still be living. Like that's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And my question, regardless of whichever one was right, what gives you the right to have a possibility of parole when Emma no longer has a possibility to do anything
of life?
Anything.
It's done.
Yeah. So at the sentencing, he said to the family, I'm sorry I took Emma away from you, that I robbed you of the experience of watching your daughter grow up. What I can do is tell the truth about that night. I wanted to scare her. I never meant to take Emma's life. Again, I am sorry.
So his plan was to shoot at the room, knowing you've been in this room, knowing you knew where her bed was, knowing what wall it was against. Why not? Okay.
And at the same time, like, so you're blindly shooting into her room twice to scare her? You don't know what she was doing.
Right.
Even if you were aiming, like, higher than the bed was, she could have been up walking around that room. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, when I was in high school, I was up late.
She's a teenage girl, yeah.
Yeah. So how can you be so certain that none of those bullets that you shot into that room were going to hit her?
And leaving the scene, he didn't know for a fact that she was dead.
I don't think so.
He couldn't go into the room to check.
Yeah. So you just assumed that you had scared her and that was it. That didn't make any sense to me. So I don't believe that for anything. I don't believe it at all. So in May of 2021, he filed a motion for a new trial based on insufficient evidence.
You had the gun and the black clothing. The gun used to kill Emma.
And you literally admitted to her family that you did it.
Yeah.
So, make it make sense.
I'm confused.
Mm-hmm. So that is the murder of Emma Walker. So now we're going to backpedal a little bit because, you know, I like to tell the story and then fill you in. And we're going to talk about Emma for a bit because it's important to know about her and then how they ended up together and how this all came to be. So every one of my sources described Emma as the sweetest person ever. Her dad said she was goofy and loved to play jokes. And her mom said that her smile could light up a room. And she really did have a beautiful smile. She
and
did.
We're going to post, aren't we going to post her picture?
Indeed.
We love to show our victims.
Yeah.
We love to show how beautiful they were. And we are pro-victim here.
Mm-hmm. And Emma had dreams of being either a veterinarian or a NICU nurse. And that pulls at my heartstrings because, I mean, Brooke, you know, but everybody else doesn't know. My twins were micro preemies. I had them at 24 weeks. So we were in the NICU for 137 days.
No.
Yeah.
Emma had such a good heart.
Mm-hmm. It takes a very special kind of person to be a NICU nurse.
Yeah. My best friend, Rachel, she's a NICU nurse.
Oh, they're so special. Yes. Hashtag shout out to our NICU nurses because I'm still in contact with them and I still love them with every inch
she
of my body.
She says that too. She says a lot of her moms keep up in like contact with her and she's like, it makes her feel so special.
Yeah, it's great. I love it so much.
Sweet.
It warms my heart. So based on everything that everyone was saying about her, she definitely fit the bill to become a NICU nurse. And when she was in school, she was an honor roll student who was also a cheerleader at her high school since she was a freshman at the school. And this is how they met. Because she was a cheerleader and he was a wide receiver on the football team.
So they went to the same high school.
They did.
But he's just a year older than her.
2 years.
2 years older than mm-hmm. her. Okay. So.
Yes.
So she's popular. He's a football player. Mm-hmm. The stereotypical cheerleader, football player, dynamic duo.
Yes.
Okay.
So there wasn't a lot of information about Riley that I can find. But what I did find was that he was raised by his mother and his grandparents. And he was described as a smart kid mm-hmm. who was also a nerd. And his friend.
Nerdy football player.
That's like a weird combination.
I have a few of them.
Really?
I have two boys right now. Big old boys, like, gonna be on the defensive line really good. And they will nerd out. And it is the cutest thing ever. And they're, like, best friends. So they're, like, sit across the room and they're like, what'd you get for number five? And then, like, and they always work together. So, like, and I think they feel really important that they're also on the football team and in advanced classes. And they know they're smart. And I always tell them, like, y'all are leaders of this classroom. You're gonna do something with your life. So it is I'm not hyping Riley up by any means,
mm-mm.
but it is a rare coincidence, but it's cool when it happens that a nerd is also a jock.
Yeah. So Alex and Noah were his childhood friends and said he was active in the church community. And that's how their friendship kind of blossomed with the nerdism, because when they were younger, they were all just a nerd gang together.
Nerd squad.
Nerd squad. So as he got older, he got more interested in football, but he also remained true to his nerdy ways and was still friends with Alex and Noah, obviously, because he was contacting them
right.
through this whole ordeal. Emma thought that Riley was cute and she would see him playing and tell all her friends, oh my God, he's so cute. Number 8.
He's going to be my boo.
That's going to be my boy. She was crushing on him and he was crushing on her.
Because she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And smart.
Yeah.
And they can nerd out together.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there was a problem. Riley was already in a relationship.
Oh.
He had a girlfriend.
Mm.
Mm. But he left that relationship to be with Emma.
So stand up. We're stand up took ownership of this little crush. I'm going to do right by Emma. And I'm going to leave this girl. Okay.
And that's what you would think.
Until.
But even though her and Emma were together, he still had his ex-girlfriend in his back pocket. So he actually promised to take his ex-girlfriend to the prom this year and then to take Emma to prom during his senior year.
Okay.
Which is weird. Why would you agree to that? You literally broke up with her to be with Emma.
Right. I gave a guy in high school an ultimatum. He was playing us both and I was like, who are you taking to the prom? Because this is the deciding factor. It wasn't the deciding factor. I went back. But he ended up taking me.
Hey.
I mean.
Oh.
He was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, no.
Hey, no.
Never mind. So Emma was not a fan of this, obviously, but she went along with it. She went along with it.
No confrontation. Just keep it casual.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just like don't be touching her.
Nope, I don't want drama. Have fun. Call me when you leave.
Mm-hmm. So the beginning of their relationship was any typical storybook relationship. Her parents enjoyed him. They actually said he was really polite and likable. Emma was constantly posting pictures of them on social media, and they had pictures, and they looked really cute. They did look really cute together. And she would post pictures with the captions like, "Happy birthday to my handsome boyfriend. I love you bunches. And look how lucky I am." Now, all this is good and dandy. He didn't really interact with her friends too much, but they just took it as him being shy. I mean, I could see he's a jock, but he's also a nerd. So, you know, he kind of has a like shy side.
Right.
But it wasn't until they were together for a little bit that they started to become concerned with their relationship, because they were saying that he was very controlling and possessive, and he wanted to know everything that she was doing at all times, and even tried to tell her who to hang out with.
Nope.
No.
Not going to happen.
And it had gotten to the point that if Emma went out without him, he was blowing up her phone with calls and texts. And when I say blowing up, like 20 to 30 calls, texting.
And this is also showing the age, because I've been here. I flew out last night at 9 o'clock. I did not go to bed till 1:30. And we got back and got dressed and were taking pictures at what, 12?
Something around there.
Around lunchtime today. This is Saturday.
Yeah.
And I've talked to James once. Like, he's texted me and showed me a picture of my babies, my dogs. But, like, he knows what I'm doing. He knows who I'm with. There's no need in all that. There's just not. And I understand they're in high school, and I get it to an extent because I was once there. Shocker.
Yeah.
My kids have such a hard time understanding I was once in their shoes.
Yeah. It's really just nuts. So, but like the way I'm thinking is like, you're the star of the football team. Like, you're one of the important players on the football team. His friend said, like, if there was anyone in our school that was going to go to the NFL, it was Riley. So you're like a big deal. Don't you got things to do?
Like, go practice, go watch film, go recruit, go to college visits.
Like, go play video games with your friends. Go do anything.
Be a normal teenager.
Yeah. He would like even comment on like what she should and shouldn't wear. And she worked at a grocery store, so he would wait out there for hours while she was working.
Mm-mm.
So he's very much giving me stalker.
Stalker vibes. Insecure vibes. Very insecure.
And like, granted, I don't want to hype Riley up or toot his horn. He was a handsome dude.
So like you...
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, it made absolutely no sense. And he even tried to make it seem like Emma didn't have a family that loved her. So her mom said that Emma had told her that he would say to her, she barely had parents and she barely had a brother. And to me, that sounds like he's grooming her to believe that he is the only thing she had.
Yep. And look at how horrible everyone else is.
Yeah. Which, that's just so cringy. It's just so cringy to me. And Emma was a very... very independent in the sense that she wanted to learn things for herself. So her friends are noticing this behavior. Her family is noticing this like toxicity of their relationship. So when they would come to her and express their concerns, Emma didn't want to hear about it. And she did her own thing. And Emma's parents were very involved with her life. And I'm talking, they monitor her social media, they monitor her phone use, and they even had a tracker on her car, which...
good for them.
I'm going to be the same way with Skylar and Aria.
Right. My sister's going to be the same way with Casey. Why? Because my sister was a hellion. Wild as all get out.
You leave her alone.
I love her. This is her official shout out because she has blessed me out. Sorry, Mary. Mary.
We love you, girl.
But she was so wild. And like, so now she has Casey, my niece, who is spitting image of her in all personalities. And Mary's like, she ain't gonna get away with that. I know all the tricks. I'm like, new tricks still. They happen every day.
Yes,
she's gonna test you. She is gonna test you.
She really is. Because so, the girls do it too.
Yeah. And Mary says that too. She's like, I'm gonna track her phone. I'm gonna go and pick her up from the parties. I'm gonna even be at the parties. No, you're not. Shut up.
Shoot, I'm gonna be at the parties. I'm gonna be right there next to you.
See your DJ for tonight.
I'm gonna be right there. Everybody, let's play that T-Pain.
Yeah.
That is Usher.
I know, but...
Oh.
It's just a classic.
It is. That is a good. And then all the kids are going to stare at us. Oh my gosh. Okay, we're back. So they started to see Emma's sparkle dwindle, and she started to become more like closed off and angry at them all the time. So they started to limit her contact with him. But Riley always seemed to find a loophole.
And they do.
They always do. He would show up to public events that he knew she would be at, like
and
church
can't
gatherings.
Tell him to leave. It's a public event.
Exactly. And that was his thought. So he was showing up to church gatherings and like basketball games, and they couldn't do anything about it. It was a public place, like you said. You couldn't do anything.
Right.
He was allowed to be there. So they dated on and off for like 2 years, which, oh my, that's a lot.
It's a lot of trauma.
Yeah.
A lot of anxiety.
Yeah. So when he went off to college, Emma and him tried to make it work. But right before Thanksgiving break, she broke things off with him because she saw some Snapchats with Riley with other girls at school.
Well, go have them, Riley. Go have
go them. Ahead. Go ahead. You so insecure. There you go.
They can hype you up. Those yep. other girls can hype you up.
Absolutely.
Do you think?
Do it, boy. Mm. So Emma is thriving after she cuts ties with Riley. She is thriving. Her parents are seeing her old goofy and sweet ways coming back. Meanwhile, Riley is unraveling.
Crumbling.
He is crumbling. Okay. Mind you, but here's my thing. You were posting all these Snapchats, and I don't know what your motive was. I don't know if it was to get her jealous. I don't know what it was. But if anything, you have these females to focus on.
Yeah, they clearly want to be, like, they want to, like, date you. Go date them.
Yeah, like, go ahead. Rock out, man.
Why you need Emma? You got these new girls.
Yeah. He even attempted suicide by taking a bunch of Vicodin with alcohol. And his friends were worried about him because his mood swings were all over the place. And he was just not taking this very well. He was not taking it well. So this brings us to where our story began, at the party. Now, remember, and they were reducing contact with Riley, but now they're broken up. So when Emma went to them that night and was like, yo, there's a party at school. Can I go? Her parents are like, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, go have fun.
Like, go have fun. Like, I'm so like happy that you are
being normal.
Yeah, that you're back. Like, yeah. Go and have a good time. And I know that they regret this decision every single day because that was the last weekend that they spent with her. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like based on everything we've learned about Riley, even if she did not go to this party, I feel like he would have still found a way to do what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. He had a motive. He, even if his intentions were to scare her that night with the kidnapping and then the man outside the house in all black, blah, 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 blah. His plan was ultimately to scare her back into his arms. To yeah. show her, you can't be out here in this big bad world without me.
Yes.
And the first two things didn't work. So it led to the third thing. Yeah. He was in it for the long haul. He was like it. Yeah.
I feel like he was so like just far gone and obsessed with her that I honestly feel that in his mind, he was like, if I can't have her, no one else is going to have her.
Right.
Which, yikes.
Yeah. Because trust me, baby boy, life goes on.
Yes.
It does. It moves on and people keep on living.
Yes. I'm a prime example. I got divorced 2 years ago and at first I thought my life was over. I was a single mom. How I'm shattered inside. And now look at me. I'm chilling and we doing this thing.
We are.
We are thriving. Yep. I love that for me.
I've been there. I mean, I feel like we all have. And
yeah.
When you have emotional ties to that person, it does feel like your world is crumbling in that moment. But you wake up every day and you just go about and you just keep waking up and it gets better. It does.
Day by day.
And then one day you wake up and you're like, wow, I haven't even thought of that person.
Wow. I didn't cry today.
I didn't cry today.
Yeah.
I'm good. So let's go ace this test.
Let's go do it.
You know, come on, Riley.
Come on, Riley. I mean, look at all the things that he done. He faked his own kidnapping.
Lame.
He was literally on video by, I guess, like a neighbor's like Ring camera walking around the neighborhood in all black because a friend was like, I know his walk. Like, I know his, like, mannerisms when he walks, and that's him.
Thank God for Ring cameras now.
Seriously. And, like, then you have the audacity to ask for a motion for a new trial. Mm-hmm. And I hope for Emma's friends and family that, like, this is not granted, because I would hate to have to go through a whole new trial and relive this all over again.
Right.
So, like, what are your thoughts? Because that's, like, I mean, I got some things to add at the end, but, like, what are your thoughts on everything that I've presented to you here today?
He was raised by a single mom.
Yes.
Male figures, his granddad. Mm-hmm. Okay. But he ended up stealing from him. So that's,
oh, yes.
Yeah. I feel like he has, what's that? Not like little man syndrome, because he wasn't like a little guy, but like he could do no wrong in that he had this perfect girlfriend and he was going to keep her and he was going to control that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is like there's nothing he displayed outside of just inner relationship stuff, like their relationship in general, just insecurities, which he shouldn't have had because he had girls everywhere that would have been with him.
Yeah.
And then he made good grades, so that wasn't a clear indicator. Yeah. He's a star football player that could have had a scholarship. That's not an indicator. So was there just a mental, like a diagnosis of his mental state that was just never found? Like, did he suffer from depression? Did he suffer from anxiety? And he just never got diagnosed? Like, that's, you know.
That's a possible thing.
Or he just snapped.
Or he just snapped. I mean, it seemed like he had it all. And I would love to see, I couldn't find anything with, like, you know how when people get arrested, they do like a psych eval?
Right.
Like, I would love to see what they thought. Like, did they think he was sane at the time that he did this? Or did he, like you said, have a mental break?
Was it crime of passion? Where, yeah.
Oh, like, it was absolutely
in the moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was absolutely.
But the no remorse thing throws me off. Like, that brings me to that psychiatric thing. Like, you're showing no remorse. Crime of passion, you've committed the act, and once the act is committed, you're like, oh, shit, like, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
I feel horrible. Can't undo it, but what just happened? And he didn't show that.
But I also think, also, like, in the moment, I don't, like, when he shot into there, like we said, I don't think he knew. But even the next day when people, he said in the interview that he was getting texts from people saying their condolences. And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, acting shocked. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, he probably didn't know. He probably thought he just shot into a wall. But that, no, you couldn't have thought that because you know where that bed is.
Yeah.
You know it's 3:30 in the morning. You know she's probably asleep. You knew what you were doing. You just didn't know that your actions would lead to those consequences.
Yeah.
You couldn't have proved that.
Yeah. Like, your intentions were to scare her, but you're shooting into her bedroom at 3:00 in the morning.
Right.
Mm.
And I know, like, God, her dad, when he got up. Oh, my gosh.
My heart breaks because I was watching the Oxygen Dateline Secrets Uncovered episode. And the tears that were just welling up in his eyes when he was talking about it. He was like, I woke up and it sounded like someone was in my house and they slammed the door 2 times. So I got up to check on my kids and they looked fine. And I checked the house and it looked fine.
Mm.
And then the next morning, everything wasn't fine.
I think he snapped. And I think that he had some kind of psychosis moment. I don't know.
Yeah.
Psychosis, the word, I don't know. Mental break.
Yeah, if anyone could find that documentation anywhere, send it my way.
Us. We're interested.
Yeah, I really want to know. But to end on a lighter note, because Emma was such an animal lover and she wanted to be a NICU nurse, her parents decided to keep her spirit and dreams alive by getting a dog park and a NICU patient room at East Tennessee Children's Hospital named after her.
So she is living out her dream.
Yes.
She is.
I would love to see that NICU room. I bet you would just
take Ashton to the dog park.
Oh my God, yeah.
Ashton would just be like, hello, wiggle butt here.
And I would, I bet that NICU room is just so, I feel like with the person that she was, it's probably just so happy in there, you know, because the NICU can be a very scary place. I mean,
and depressing. Like you can get to your lowest there, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm sure that room is just, I feel like she is in that room, just giving those babies all of the love and support to get better.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
I'm so happy, but it's like, I mean, they did something positive with a tragedy.
Yeah. And her mom said that she hopes that people remember Emma by being kind to others.
Be kind. We tell our students that every day.
Yes.
There's just no point being ugly to people. Yeah. You don't know what anybody's going through.
You don't?
Where y'all going?
Hello? What? The bell don't just dismiss you. I do.
Just kidding. Y'all get out of here.
Bye, guys. See you next time.
Yay. We're going to get Chick-fil-A.
Yum, yum, yum.